Sports Talk 750.
Hi, I'm looking for Ray Finkel and a clean pair of shorts.
There was a time in this country when sports were revered. But people today, their values were all out of whack.
Artest looking, gets it to Bryant. Bryant dribbling, has to put it up with the buzzer. Banks it in! And the Lakers win the game!
But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward.
Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier!
Put that coffee down.
Coffee's for closers only.
John Stockton sends the Utah Jazz to the NBA Final!
And I'm just ferocious. I want your heart. I want to eat his children. Praise be to Allah. Yeah!
Welcome to another edition of Drive Time Sports, KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini. As always, happy to be along with you on the afternoon drive, and we have been loaded with guests throughout the week, and that trend will continue today. But we're going to talk some national and local sports as well. Right now, it is a very important time for sports locally. We're gearing up for the regular season finale on the high school football scene this Friday. Also, the state championship tournament, the 3A level. For soccer, it is off and rolling right now, actually. Carbon and Emory going toe-to-toe in Castledale. Outside of high school, it's also a very important time for junior college athletics. As a matter of fact, right now, we have USU Eastern Soccer on KOALITV.com. Well, one of the great things we haven't talked a whole lot about here, you can watch all the soccer contests and volleyball from USU Eastern at KOALITV.com. And we actually have a soccer game live right now, so you can tune in there to watch it. We're going to be joined by USU Eastern Vice Chancellor Greg Dart. He's going to join us on the show. He's going to step away from the athletic scene at the moment and talk about everything going on as far as possible expansion, how the soccer and the volleyball team have looked, and we're gearing up for basketball because tonight it's Meet the Team Night for USU Eastern, both the men and the women. See, so plenty on this local sports front to dive into, and we're going to attack that today on Drive Time Sports. Also, last night, the Utah Jazz, they pick up another preseason win as they beat the Los Angeles Lakers by 6 points last night. They remain unbeaten 5-0. The Jazz have the best record in the NBA as far as preseason goes. How much can you gauge from preseason? One thing has stood out to me with the Jazz so far this year. Rudy Gobert was the best player on the team last year. He is the best player on the team this year. Last night against the Lakers, he was great on both sides of the floor. Rudy was so efficient offensively. He adjusts so many shots inside the paint. The Jazz are going to be fine. I mean, really, I don't think they miss a beat without Gordon Hayward. Call me crazy. I've said all along, I don't think this guy was worth $170 million. I think Utah got out cheap, not re-signing him. And I think that Donovan Mitchell, who dropped 26 last night, shot 10 of 20 from the field, he's exciting. He's a guy that's going to make Jazz fans forget about Gordon Hayward. There's a lot of exciting stuff happening with the Jazz. A lot of exciting stuff. So we'll talk some Utah Jazz basketball. Also, if we're talking Jazz ball, one thing that has stood out to me, and again, this is a nod to Larry Kraskowiak, the amount of NBA talent that the University of Utah has in the NBA, like the amount of players they have produced onto the next level, has been pretty phenomenal as of late. Kyle Kuzma has been the most consistent rookie between summer league into preseason basketball from a large sample size. He's been the most consistent. And I think that U fans in general expect him to go back to where he was, which was inconsistent. I mean, he was inconsistent when he was at the University of Utah. Don't get me wrong. But I think he's found a spot. And I think the Lakers have found the replacement for Julius Randle, who I do not expect to be back with the team after this season. We'll talk Kyle Kuzma as well. It's a familiar name here in the state of Utah. And again, he continues to just wow in the preseason ranks. So plenty of NBA basketball coming up on the show today as well. Right now, the Nats and the Cubs going toe-to-toe in elimination game for the Washington Nationals. There's also an elimination game tonight for both the Indians and the Yankees. Game 5 in the ALCS. I'm so excited to watch this game tonight. It actually gets rolling at 6 o'clock our time. Cleveland gets out to a quick start in this series. The Yankees have battled back to force a Game 5. I made this statement on the show yesterday. The Yankees have outplayed the Indians in 3 consecutive games. They should have won Game 4, or Game 2. They outplayed Cleveland in that contest. It was there for the taking on the road. Tonight, CC Sabathia back on the mound. He'll go up against Corey Kluber. Kluber, he's got a 20.25 ERA so far in the postseason. He didn't have his best outing the last time we saw him. Only went 2 2/3. CeCe's coming off a pretty productive outing. He pitched 5 innings, and again, we're going all the way back to Game 2 when CeCe got the no decision. Huge game tonight. The Cleveland Indians went on such a tremendous tear, and it was so exciting to talk about this team as far as what they had accomplished in the regular season. And in 5 games, it could be all over with. I mean, that's part of the beauty of Major League Baseball. And it's a night game. Thank you. I hate the day baseball games as far as the postseason goes. The Astros and the Dodgers await in the next round. I don't think there's any surprises there either. But Major League Baseball right now definitely hitting its stride. Let's move over to talk NFL. Dominic Rogers-Cromartie has been suspended by the New York Giants. What else is going to happen to this football team? He was suspended by the team itself. This was according to Coach Bob McAdoo. He said he spoke with Rogers-Cromartie on Tuesday. He was at the team's facility on Wednesday and then decided to leave. Landon Collins said he believed the issue stems from what he called an altercation between McAdoo and Rogers-Cromartie on Sunday. McAdoo was asked about the perception that he has lost the team, to which he responded, quote, "Not concerned about perception, concerned about reality. Reality is this is a football team that is severely underperforming. They lost their 3 main weapons for Eli Manning on the outside this past weekend. They are by far the worst team in the NFC East, which has proven to be a very good division when you have the Cowboys that are a game under 500, the Eagles at 4-1, and the Redskins, a very capable football team. 2 losses, one of the Chiefs, one of the Eagles in 2 competitive games. The Giants are by far the worst team in the NFC East. And I wonder how long the leash really is on Bob McAdoo. Like, how long do the Giants give him to turn this around? Is he already fighting for his job? If he's lost the team, I would say yes. Today, Rogers-Cromartie suspended. And again, just another blow for the New York Giants. It is Wednesday. We don't have any football tonight. We have football tomorrow with the Carolina Panthers and the Philadelphia Eagles. An exciting game, but no football. So we'll ease off on the football talk a bit. Make sure that we circle around, do some NBA. Again, local sports front with Greg Dart. That's coming up when we return. We'll give you a local sports update as well. It is a Wednesday edition of Drive Time Sports here on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM. We're back after this.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports on KOAL AM 750 with Jordan Buscarini.
Yeah, running down a drain that never would come to me. Running down a drain.
There's definitely a lot happening right now in the junior college ranks. In fact, right now, the USU Eastern soccer teams are in action at home taking on Southern Nevada. There's also another fun event tonight. USU Eastern's basketball teams will play host to their annual staff versus the team game. It's always a lot of fun. Kind of introduces the players to the community. And then on top of that, volleyball continuing to move forward. And rodeo, actually, right now, some cool stuff happening there. Joining us to talk about everything that's happening within the USU Eastern Athletics Department, we have Vice Chancellor Greg Dart. Greg, always a pleasure. Thank you.
Hey, thanks so much for having me.
Definitely, definitely. Hey, we are moving through 2017. I mean, there's only less than 2 months left, actually, in 2017. I can't believe how fast this is going. That doesn't really have a lot of bearing on the spring sports, you know, the winter sports, but it does have a lot of bearing on the fall sports season, which is rapidly coming to an end. In fact, we got 3 weeks left of the soccer season before we go to the regional tournament. It's amazing how fast it's gone.
It is flying by, and it's really crunch time in soccer, and now is the time where we've gone away from back-to-backs where you go to a team and play them Friday and Saturday, and now are playing them one time, and it's getting right now to crunch time.
Which has its advantages. I mean, obviously, based off what happened over the weekend, we'd love to play Colorado Northwestern twice, you know, 2 more times. But talking to Coach Bennett regularly throughout the year, he's been very impressed with his men's team. And without coming, I mean, again, Coach Bennett, how do I say this? He's hard on his team. He's especially when he's on the air with them. But at the same time, you know, there's a lot of optimism around this men's team, and I just don't think Coach Bennett feels like they have played their best soccer as of yet, which is a good thing considering that they're in the running for a conference championship.
I think that's exactly right. You look at that team, and they've got just better as we go. In the preseason when they were playing non-conference teams, they were having some struggles. Their defense was struggling. What's really happened, though, I think that has turned them around and pointed them in the right direction. Right now, tied for a conference championship is they've got a keeper in Austin Munoz who's just unbelievable, yep. can stop everything. And it's amazing how much that changes the whole flow of the game. You get somebody like that that makes some amazing saves, and what it turns to as far as runs on the other side and everything, it's completely changed the dynamic of that team.
Now, on the flip side of that, the women, they've had their struggles so far this year. And the women's program, though, they've kind of been the pillar of consistency as far as the soccer programs go over the last couple of years. But they have dipped a little bit. Coach Bennett mentioned that sometimes he feels like they are trying too hard to please him when they're out on the field. Still a lot of talent on that squad, though.
There is a lot of talent. They've had some breaks go the wrong way for them this year. They're playing probably a little more timid than what he would want to see, not being as aggressive, and I think that's been the difference. And if that's trying to please him or what that is, I'm not sure. But they're as talented as anybody in the conference. Snow College right now just looks unbeatable. But they are as talented as Snow. They played well with them, and if they can be a little less timid, be a little more aggressive, I think they can beat anyone in the conference as well.
Which is going to make for a lot of fun when we get to the conference tournament, which is not that far off. It's actually at the end of the month, and there is a chance that conference tournament will be right here in Price.
Yeah, big week for us this week with the games today, and then Saturday at Salt Lake. The men's champion will host the conference tournament on the 26th through 28th of October. And depending on how things shake out this week, there's a very good chance that that could be here.
That would be huge. I mean, the program's not that old, and to play host to a conference tournament, what are we, 4 years into the program? It'd be kind of amazing to think about.
Yeah, 4 years into the program, only the second year into this conference tournament, it would be great to have it here. And we've been working with the county about potentially having that tournament on their new soccer fields as well.
As far as the growth of the program, you and I always talk a little bit about this, I think, every time we bring you in. Again, still new. I mean, 4 years is definitely still a new program. Are you happy with the way things are going? Is it been as smooth as it has been over the last couple of years this season, now that we are preparing to play on a brand new field next year?
Ecstatic, to be honest. We really thought with all these new teams that came about 2 years ago that it would be difficult to maintain the number of athletes and the level of talent. And Coach Bennett and Coach Davis and Coach Woodhouse have done that. They've been able to maintain those things. We still have three soccer teams. We still have over 90 student athletes in our soccer program. It's been amazing. What we're also seeing is that there will be more expansion to the conference in soccer. We're now at five teams. College of Southern Idaho is looking at potentially as early as next year having teams, and so that would be six. And then there, Truckee Meadows Community College is looking at adding soccer as well out in Reno, and so that could potentially be the sport with more teams than any other sport in our conference, and that would be in year three. So it's exploding all over, but being on the leading edge of that and having someone like Coach Bennett to run that program has put us in an enviable position.
Again, we're being joined right now by Greg Dart, Vice Chancellor at USU Eastern. Now, with that being said, how close are we to expansion across the board? I mean, is that something? I know it's been a hot topic as of late, specifically in basketball, baseball as well. I mean, are we close to seeing a massive expansion, or at least somewhat of an expansion?
I think so. I think there's a lot of things that are still playing. Baseball's a little bit more complicated because it seems to be the sport that takes the hit with Title IX, and you see a lot of what used to be men's soccer, at least on the Division I level. You don't see a lot of men's soccer programs. You see the women's programs, and often not men, just to keep it equal as far as men's and women's programs. On the junior college level, you've seen, you know, a lot of institutions add those together, men's and women's soccer. And so baseball, you know, Snow College is the perfect example because they have football. Baseball doesn't seem likely for them. And so although they have the full contingent of sports and everything else in the conference, baseball isn't something that we anticipate they'll be adding back in. Having said that, there are some potential other areas that we're looking at with baseball, and College of Southern Nevada is probably the most interesting right now on both the baseball and basketball front. Basketball, they could be adding within the next year. In 2018, 2019, having basketball in Las Vegas and Henderson, that's something they're very close to now. There's also a possibility that they're looking at potentially having sports on multiple campuses, which would allow them to have more teams. Baseball's been their kind of stalwart sport down there, and I see a possibility in the coming years where they could potentially have baseball on more than one campus. And so there's some really interesting things happening right now, and I think even by next year, you could see some significant differences within the conference.
Now, as far as the scheduling goes for basketball, and I don't want to get too far away from the fall sports, but there has been a change, right? I mean, we're talking three conference games, or do we keep it at four this year?
Three conference games, so you'll play each team three times, which is really what the coaches were asking for. Four is difficult.
Way too much.
It is. It's very difficult. Those are the games that everybody wants to see, but if you're seeing them four times, then that's potentially five in the tournament and makes it difficult. So three, and has made some concessions as far as travel to try and keep everybody's travel down as much as possible. So finding some efficiencies that way has helped as well. Adding another team would make three really the optimal number given the number of teams that we have. Right now, it leaves you a little light on what you want for a conference schedule, but that's just the nature of the beast right now.
Well, and you have to account for that somewhere, which I guess is preseason, right? I mean, three less games to schedule in the preseason if you were to add another team. That goes a long way. It may not sound like a lot, but it is.
Oh, definitely. In the preseason, you're always looking at a few tournaments where you pick up some good games and some good competition, but it's difficult for a lot of these schools, especially in more rural areas like ours, to bring in teams. So everybody is mindful of travel dollars. And if you're talking about going to a Rangeley or a Price or an Ephraim, even if you like the talent, you like what you'll get as far as competition, just the travel might be more than what you can handle, where Salt Lake might be an easier draw.
Well, if we talk about growth within programs, we absolutely have to talk about volleyball, because you and I had this conversation off of the cuff, just how great the attendance has been over the last 2 years for the volleyball team, and now they're competing at a national level where, in fact, they're still a top 20 team. Four teams from the Scenic West Athletic Conference actually represented in the top 20. Insane talent, and it's right here in our own backyard.
It is crazy. If you looked at what happened in the preseason and kind of watched what Coach Jensen's squad was doing, it was unprecedented. It hasn't happened here. Getting into conference, it's been a tougher go. Still, having said all of that, they're a top 18 talent right now. That's where they are, is ranked number 18. That's good enough for fourth in the conference, though. In a conference as competitive as this, those conference wins are not easy to come by. It's competitive from top to bottom this year, and what you're seeing as far as the talent, what you're seeing as far as the coaching, local coaches doing this, it's so exciting. And because of their community involvement, because of what they're putting on as far as a product on the court, the attendance is amazing. On Friday night, was there to watch against Salt Lake, and it was amazing what that crowd was like. And they let a set get away at first, and then it was a battle the next three. They ended up losing 3-1, but that's to a team that's beat the number two team in the country.
Maybe it's a vague question, but from an appearance standpoint, from a competitive standpoint, I don't recall the last time USU Eastern Athletics as a whole was in this good of shape, because, I mean, each program has been highly competitive. I mean, even if we're talking baseball, softball in its first year of existence was competitive, picked up a couple of big wins. It seems like the state of USU Eastern Athletics right now is maybe as good as it's ever been.
I think that when you look across the board, that we've never seen anything like this. One thing that I don't want to fail to mention is that we have the number one barrel racer
yes.
in
right.
college rodeo right now, too. Just some amazing things going on across the board. And yeah, we have not been in a position where we could say that we don't have a down program. Every one of them is competing at a very high level. And everything that's happening outside of the competitive arena, as far as marketing, as far as getting the exposure that's needed, and some of the work that happens behind the scenes, and broadcasting games. I mean, you've helped in that as well. But getting everything out there has really built that and built the program to a point where recruits come in and they know a lot more about us than they ever have before when they're being recruited, because there's an exposure and there really has been a level of expectation built with the programs that I don't think has been seen here for quite some time, if ever.
Well, Greg, it is always a pleasure to get you in and talk a bit about the athletics department. It's always great to hear your insight as well. You have such a big hand on things that happen as far as the athletics program goes. Thank you again for taking out the time to stop by, and we'll see you tonight, the staff versus the team game at the BDAC. I know the community is invited to join us.
Yeah, we would love to have them there. This is always a fun thing that we do, and we're doing it as part of our homecoming week. But tonight at the BDAC at 7 o'clock, you'll see some of the best basketball players around and some of the worst basketball players around. So you'll get to see me and Jordan out on the floor, and you'll get to see some real talent as well.
And I think it's maybe an eye-opener for some of those people just to how good these guys really are.
I've said multiple times, and I believe this 100%, that if they decided they didn't want the staff faculty to score, they would not score. We would put up a goose egg.
We'd never get past half court. We'd never get onto their side of the court. Like, that's how good these guys really are.
Yes, for sure. It's unbelievable.
Greg, thank you again for taking the time to come by today. Always fun to talk to you.
Thanks so much for having me.
Absolutely. We've got a break for just a moment. When we return, we're going to move over to talk NBA basketball. Last night, the Utah Jazz, they kept their perfect preseason record intact as they topped the Lakers on the road. We'll talk Utah Jazz basketball and also the emergence of former Ute man Kyle Kuzma. That's coming up next here on Drive Time Sports.
Listen to Drive Time Sports weekdays 4 to 5 on News Talk, KOAL.
A long three from Thompson, and that is an NBA record. His 10th three-pointer of the night. Thompson fires for three, yes! Golden State by three.
This is Clay Thompson from the Golden State Warriors, and you're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Lester on KOAL, 7:50 a.m.
Less conversation, a little more action, please. All this aggravation ain't satisfaction in me.
We're back on Drive Time Sports, KOAL, 107.3 FM, 7:50 a.m. We're going to move over to talk NBA basketball. Last night, the Utah Jazz topped the Los Angeles Lakers in a preseason contest. Utah getting a 105-99 win off a huge performance from Rudy Gobert. Looked very good last night. Scored 29 points, had 13 rebounds. Extremely efficient from the field. 10 of 12 from the field in this contest last night. The Lakers, on the flip side, they were without star rookie Lonzo Ball. How much can you really take into preseason? We're going to talk about that and more right now with our next guest. Kind enough to join us each week, Jameson Welsh of BelieveTheHypeNBA.com. Jameson, a pleasure as always. Thank you.
Oh, not a problem at all. Thanks for having me as always. Definitely appreciate it.
And we'll dive right into the Utah Jazz last night. Rudy Gobert, very, very good. And again, you and I have had this conversation multiple times. The Jazz losing Gordon Hayward is going to be a storyline that floats around this team throughout the season. But they did not lose their best player. I know it's preseason basketball, but once again, that was on display last night. Rudy Gobert is this team's best player, and he affects both ends of the floor drastically. And he did last night in this preseason win.
Oh, no doubt. And we've been saying that for a while now. I mean, the Jazz go as far as he takes them. He's a guy that he can impact the game on different levels on both ends, and that's huge on defense. You can just tell, even when guys go to the basket, he makes it so difficult to finish over them, to finish over him. It's tough, man. He's a guy, even if guys beat their defender, when they get to him, they have to throw up a wild shot because they just can't finish. They just can't. It's just very difficult. He's a very long athletic center, and that's just kind of what it is. The big thing with him on offense, his offensive game has come together as well. He's a guy that finishes around the basket a lot better than he did a couple years ago, and he's a guy that can, pretty much do – he's okay to hold his own on offense. That's all you ask for. And it's easy to build around a big. If you have a big that's pretty solid and that is balanced on both ends, it's really easy to build your team around that than any other position because it's easy to fill out your roster based on the strengths of a big, and he's done really well. And I don't think the Jazz, I know they lost Gordon Hayward, but I don't think they're going to fall off that much if they even fall off at all. I think they're in a good spot. They just need to help Rodney Hood has a breakout year or at least a progress year for him.
Yeah, and Rodney Hood only played 4 minutes last night, left the game with neck soreness. I know this is kind of a make it or break it year, at least that's the way I view it for Rodney Hood. I thought 2 years ago this guy would be the best player on this Utah Jazz team. I loved what he brings to the table defensively. We know what he brings on the offensive side of the ball. Didn't play a whole lot last night, but a guy that I believe will directly impact Rodney Hood this season is Ricky Rubio. And last night we did get a look at Rubio. We saw some of his deficiencies. I mean, he was 6 of 18 from the field, 2 of 8 from downtown, but he did really distribute the basketball, and his plus minus was plus 12 last night, which was huge. I did grab a couple of boards as well. When I look at Rodney Hood and the steps that this guy has to take, it's extremely simple. Look at Ricky Rubio, because he is going to directly impact Rodney Hood throughout the entire season.
Oh, without a doubt. And you know, Ricky Rubio, people have their issues with him. I'm not a huge fan of his, but the one thing I will say is he will make other guys better. Now, his defense isn't that great, even though I know the numbers supported that it is. His defense is kind of a liability at times. But with that being said, he's a guy that's going to get guys involved, going to get guys in their spots. And at the end of the day, guys are going to be better playing with him. So he's a guy that you've got to have on the team like this that needs playmakers because it's very void of playmakers. So having a guy like him, especially in a contract year, is a really good situation. Like I said before, the Jazz are in a good spot. They're a well-coached team. They have an identity. That's always huge. They have an identity. And their young players are getting better. Use that to hope for good health because they have a lot of guys that have had issues staying healthy or staying consistently healthy. So that'll be a thing to watch out for. But Rubio in a contract year playing with Donovan Mitchell is going to be really huge because Donovan Mitchell, in my opinion, is just as good as any of the guys that got drafted in the top five. I don't think there's that much separation if there's any at all. So the Jazz really got a really good pick late in the lottery with him.
No, I agree, and that's where all the hype lies with this team is with Donovan Mitchell. You know, just how good is he going to be looking ahead? As far as Mitchell goes, last night he was impressive. He was 10 of 20 from the field. He was able to score in bunches, finish with 26 points. Struggled a little bit from beyond the arc, but that was kind of the story, I think, throughout the entire game for both teams last night. No one really blazed it up from downtown. Donovan Mitchell is the real deal, and I think this is a guy that is going to help Jazz fans forget Rudy Gobert Gordon Hayward extremely fast. He's good. He's good to say the least. The Jazz got a steal here, Jameson. And I know it's preseason and you don't want to jump to conclusions, but I think you can make the case of this guy being a top four, top five rookie in the league.
Oh, without a doubt. Like, I've been telling people the whole offseason, I don't know why the Sixers traded up for Fultz. Like, Fultz is going to be a really good player in this league. I get that. Lonzo's going to be good. De'Aaron Fox is going to be good. Dennis Smith Jr. is going to be good. But I don't think there's that much separation between the first guy and the fifth guy. I just didn't think so. So trading up picks and players and all that to get one of the point guards in the draft didn't make sense to me at all. So that's why I'm kind of scratching my head at the Sixers, because Dennis Smith Jr. and Donovan Mitchell are just as good as the guys drafted in the top five. Like, there's really not a whole lot of separation at all. Each player has their flaws, but at the same time, the separation isn't that wide. I mean, we're kind of nitpicking when we start discussing these guys. So, the Jazz definitely got a steal. They got a guy that should have been a top seven type pick, and they got him at, what, 13? 12
yeah,
or 13?
13.
Yeah, so, I mean, and they used the Trey Lyles to get him. So, yeah, that's a good situation. Like, that's a really good situation. The Jazz are in good shape with him going forward. Whenever you get your point guard of the future and you already have a franchise big, it's a lot easier to fill out the roster. Now, the only issue with Utah, of course, is getting guys to get there. That's the only difference. You know, you're not going to get a marquee free agent to go sign at Utah. You have to trade and draft well. So you got to hope guys like Rodney Hood, you know, develop and get better. You got to hope that whoever you draft in the future, they develop and get better. But the Jazz are on the right track, and they're going to be in the playoffs this year. I don't know what seed. I don't know how many wins you're going to get, but as long as everyone stays healthy, they will be a playoff team this year.
No doubt, no doubt. This is a playoff team, and I've praised Dennis Lindsay on the show for years now. I've praised Quinn Snyder for years, and in watching this game last night, maybe it's the first time I've actually really, truly paid attention to a preseason game to the extent that I do as far as a regular season game goes. I love the Jazz bench. I love the fact that Joe Johnson is back. I love the Tabo Cephalosha deal. I think that right there, that is going to be something that the Jazz will rely on, especially down the stretch once they get into the postseason. And of course, you have Alec Burks. The one thing that does scare me about this Jazz team, Derek Favors has a knack for at some point in time getting bit by the injury bug. And the Jazz, for the first time in a while, don't necessarily have solid front court depth. I mean, going back 2 or 3 years ago, it was a logjam in the front court. They had to move on from Kanter. They had, you know, previous years from that, they were okay with letting the likes of Al Jefferson and Paul Millsap walk because there was such a logjam in the front court. That's not the case this year, and that may, in fact, be the detriment of this team.
No, you're absolutely right. The front court depth is huge, and when it comes to Favors, I know I've been critical of Favors in the past. He's a solid player. Like, when he's healthy, he's a solid player. Like, he's never been a bad player. But we all know, as a player, he's kind of plateaued a little bit. So we'll see exactly what takes place. But the Jazz are in good shape. I mean, they have an identity. They have a solid core of their team. Like you mentioned, though, front court depth is an issue because now when it comes to the guys that they're relying on, a lot of the guys have had injury issues. So if they're not able to play, then you got to really do some digging and you really got to trust some guys you don't really want to trust. So we'll see what comes about. But again, they're in good shape. There's a lot of other teams that wish they had their problems. I'll put it that way.
Let's move over and talk about the Lakers for a moment. You actually covered the Lakers-Kings game for us over the weekend, and you got to talk to Kyle Kuzma, a name that people here in the state are obviously very familiar with after, you know, he shined with the Utah Utes, worked his way into the first round of the NBA draft. Kyle Kuzma, you could have made the argument last night, was the best player on the floor for the Lakers. Offensively, he was pretty dynamic. You got to see what he has in his back pocket, you know, what's in the rep, you know, what can he bring to the table offensively? We got to see that a little bit last night. We got to see it in summer league. We've seen it throughout the preseason. Kyle Kuzma has really etched out a spot in this league, and it's interesting to me that Ute fans, and I don't know if it's because he plays for the Lakers now and there's that Laker Jazz rivalry, but Ute fans are very quick to say, we got to watch this guy for the last couple of years. We know what Kuzma brings to the table, and that's inconsistency. And I don't believe that's fair because he has been the most consistent rookie through the preseason and through the summer league. And I don't think you can argue that. If you take all the rookies and you look at what they have brought to the table through summer league and preseason, Kyle Kuzma is at the top of that board as being the most consistent up to this point in time, and it's already October 11th.
You're spot on. And one thing, University of Utah doesn't get credit for developing NBA guys, but they've put together quite a few NBA guys lately. They put some guys in the league lately. When you look at it, they're almost averaging like one guy a year in the league, which is really good for a team, a school that's not known for putting guys in the league. So no, they've been fine. Like they've been solid. When you look at University of Utah, and Kyle Kuzma just adds to that. He's a guy that he's very confident in his abilities. He can score the basketball. He's also a guy that's getting better. He works hard. He gets better. I know and follow his trainer Clint Parks on Twitter, and he'll tell you straight up, like, Kyle's working at 6 a.m. Even after the summer league, after all the praise in summer league, a couple days later, he was at it working again, 6 a.m., getting better, getting shots up, working on his game. Everyone talks about his footwork. Why is his footwork so good at 22? Because he's working on that. He's constantly working on that. And I can appreciate a player that works hard. I remember seeing him out here in the Pac-12 tournament a couple years ago when Utah made it to the final game versus Oregon, I believe it was. And he was just dominant. Like he was really good versus Cal. Like, he played off Portal really well. He was solid. You could tell like he had an NBA type of body. You just didn't know if the skill set would follow. But man, he's gotten a lot better since then, a whole lot better. It's night and day. And he's a guy that I look at like he's gonna challenge for some starting minutes. If I'm not mistaken, the Lakers, the way their roster is constructed, I mean, I don't think anything's guaranteed right now outside of Lonzo playing the point guard position. I think everything else is kind of up for grabs. So if Kyle Kuzma keeps on the track he's on, I mean, the sky's the limit, in my opinion.
Oh, and I really enjoyed the interview that you did with Kyle, which we got to listen to yesterday. There's a maturity level with this kid as well, and I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that he had to work for everything when he was at the University of Utah. He had an old-school coach in Larry Kraskowiak, and he was surrounded by NBA talent, and I think that a lot of that has to do with the fact that this is a very mature player. That's what stood out to me in that interview.
Well, absolutely. He's a guy that you can tell when guys weren't five-star guys or four-star guys, and you know they weren't one-and-done type of guys. The interview's different. You know, they come across differently. And Kyle Kuzma, first of all, I know him a little bit, so it makes it a lot easier. But also, he has a sense of, hey, like, I'm here to work. Like, I'm not here. I'm not entitled. I'm not here because I got drafted number five in the draft. I'm here because, hey, I'm here to work and get better each and every time out. And you can tell he takes it personally whenever he goes on the court. And I'm telling you right now, if I'm Julius Randle and if I'm Brandon Ingram, I got to bring it every night, because if I'm not bringing it, there's a guy looking for my spot. Like, people are already talking about Julius Randle getting booted out of town. Like, that's already talked already. I know you've seen it already. You've heard it already.
Sure.
People already said, all right, well, I mean, if Randle's not going to play good, then, you know, we have his replacement. And that's what's already going on. And Ingram, I'm not going to be down on a 20-year-old guy yet. I'm not. But same time, you have a guy, you know, at 6'9 as well, and that's shooting it better and playing offense better. We'll see once Lonzo gets back. But Kyle Kuzma is a guy that has made it known, like, hey, he's not taking a backseat to anyone on this team.
Yeah, I think Kyle Kuzma has a chance to be one of the best Utah Ute NBA players in quite some time. This kid is the real deal. I've had a lot of fun watching him. Jameson, it's always fun to catch up with you talk NBA basketball. Thank you for the work in Vegas over the weekend. And I know we'll catch up again next week.
Anytime, let me know whenever you need me. I got you.
That's Jameson Welsh with BelieveTheHypeNBA.com taking out the time to join us here on Drive Time Sports. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back, put the final touches on the show when we return.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports on KOAL AM 750, the play-by-play home of the USU Eastern Eagles.
We're back to put the final touches on this edition of Drive Time Sports. KOAL 107.3 FM, 750 AM. Fun show. Love talking NBA basketball, trying to get back into the swing of talking NBA ball. Now, Major League Baseball has been so much fun this year. College football is great at the moment. Got a huge game coming up on Saturday, Utah and USC. We're going to attack that heavily on tomorrow's show. Also set to join us is Coach John Famalo with the Emory Spartan football team. Coach Famalo and the Spartans gearing up for a very big game in the regular season finale as they take on the Grantsville Cowboys. Such a topsy-turvy situation in high school football this week. So here's what it looks like, and we'll glance over this quickly before we end the show, and we'll talk about this more in depth tomorrow. Emory goes on the road to take on Grantsville. Carbon's on the road to take on Judge Memorial. Union goes toe-to-toe with Morgan. Here's what's at stake Friday night for high school football. If Emory wins and Carbon wins, the Spartans automatically will host a home playoff game next Thursday. They will be the 4 seed out of the 3A North. If Emory wins and Judge Memorial wins, Emory would be the 5 seed, Carbon would be the 6, Judge Memorial would get the home playoff game. If Emory loses and Carbon wins, there is a 3-way tie for the home playoff game, and a coin flip will take place the next day. And so Carbon still has a chance to play host to a playoff game in the opening round next Thursday. Now, that's just the bottom of the 3A North. Union, who's a very capable football team, maybe they struggle a little bit defensively, but a very capable team, they take on Morgan. If they get a win and Grantsville beats Emory, 3-way tie at the top of the standings. So it is possible that we have a 3-way tie at the top and a 3-way tie at the bottom, and coin flips determine the seeding front to back next week. The 3A North has been extremely competitive, and there are so many different scenarios that are floating around that this is a monumental Friday. I don't recall the last time a regular season finale meant so much to an entire region. Now, on the flip side of that, you take a look at the 3A South, And it's interesting, doesn't necessarily have the drama that the 3A North is going to hold this weekend. We'll talk about that with Coach John Famallo tomorrow. I got to thank Greg Dart for coming in. Hopefully we'll see you out there tonight. Meet the USU Eastern men and women basketball squads. Plus, you'll get to see a little exhibition as the teams take on the staff of USU Eastern. Also got to thank Jamison Wells. She does a lot of work for us out on the road. Covered the Laker-Kings game this past weekend. Set up an interview with Kyle Kuzma. Great stuff from Jamison Wells. And always great to get him on the show as well. Again, tomorrow, Coach John Famallo. Plus, we'll continue to talk national sports scene. We'll dive into a busy weekend of college football that includes Utah and USC, a potential Pac-12 South championship game. For Travis Anderson, who was out of the studio today, I am Jordan Buscarini. I will catch you tomorrow. Be safe. I'm out.